Welcome to the Set in 10 podcast. I'm guest host Darren Clark, and I'm on a mission to spread more awareness. We'll be chatting to educational specialists to bring you inspirational stories and to discuss all things Set. You can find us on Facebook at Set in 10, where you can find out more about what we discuss and all our up-and-coming episodes. We're sponsored by IDL, the International Dyslexia Learning Solutions, who provide software for pupils with special educational needs to schools around the world. Can you just tell us your name, background, and a little bit of introduction to ALP?
Yeah, I'm Matt Hancock. I'm an MP, best known for being Health Secretary, and I'm dyslexic. And I've started the Accessible Learning Foundation, ALF, to promote early identification of dyslexia and other neurodivergent conditions, and to get more support for people. So, you know, you need early identification to know who needs help, and then you need the support to go in there. And that's what ALF is all about.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Matt, for joining us today. What got you into supporting people in SEN? What was the driving force within this?
Well, it's essentially based on personal experience. You know, I'm dyslexic. I only found out that I was dyslexic when I was 18. And then I hid it. And I hid it all the way until I was in the cabinet. And then finally, I had the confidence to talk about it in public. And honestly, the positive response I got was incredible. And so when I left government, I thought, you know, this is unfinished business. There's still far, far too many kids who leave school without their neurodiversity being identified. There are far too many people with neurodivergent conditions who were in prison. You know, more than half people in prison have got a reading age, primary school reading age. And I want to do something about that. And if I can use my voice in order to, you know, increase awareness, but also get some change so that we see this addressed seriously at primary school where it should be addressed to give people the support they need to succeed in life.
Absolutely wonderful. And what was it like then, Matt, in the sense of, you know, you're in a very prestigious position and rightfully so, you know, you were in that position. What was that like knowing that you had dyslexia and knowing that you couldn't really share that side of yourself?
You know, when I had my dyslexia identified when I was at uni, I got the support I needed to essentially relearn how to read and write. And then early in my career, I made some really bad screw-ups and I became very ashamed of it. I became embarrassed. And, you know, thankfully for me, the nice people at Microsoft invented spell check and I had the skills that I needed to get through and to succeed. And I've always been better at talking than I have at the written word. And, you know, I was in a career where that's what got you places. So I just held it within me. I just didn't talk about it. I was ashamed. And it took real coaxing by somebody close to me to get me to go public.
Yeah. And thankfully you did. And that bravery of doing that has enabled you to obviously create ALF and obviously create the incredible work that you're doing to help many, many more people. What do you enjoy most about working with SEN learners? What do you enjoy most about the work that you do within this?
I think the best thing is the sense of camaraderie, right? People who think differently, especially people who have lived for a long time hiding that. There's a real sense of camaraderie. And there's a real sense of purpose. Because we know that if you identify a problem with somebody, then it's like a weight lifting off their shoulders. You know, so many people just think that they're stupid and they're not. They have a neurodivergent condition. And if they get the right support, they're going to be okay. And so that's very rewarding.
Do you think SEN learners are supported enough?
No.
Do you think there's enough support out there for people in this sense?
No, there's not enough support. There's no doubt about that. I mean, even from just looking at the waiting list for diagnoses. But it's actually not just about diagnosis, is it? It's about identification. And then it's about support throughout, right? Like in education, not just about having a SEN teacher in a school, it's about every teacher understanding that people think differently. And, you know, and then making sure that people's strengths and weaknesses are properly and fairly assessed and people get the support, you know, to thrive on their strengths and to address their weaknesses, right? And so I get really cross when people say, you know, it's a sort of binary thing. It's all about diagnosis. It isn't. It's about understanding that everybody thinks differently, but some people have a condition, which means that they think in a materially different way. There is not enough research on how we can best, for instance, teach dyslexics. There is not enough identification, and certainly not early enough, and then there's not enough support. So right across the board, we need to do more.
How do you think we can start to implement it? Because that's a massive thing, isn't it? And rightly so, those things need to be implemented in there. What would you say, Matt?
Well, I think there's two things that have got to happen that are urgent. One is teacher training. And I don't just mean initial teacher training. I mean training of all teachers to understand neurodivergent conditions, to understand, you know, especially dyslexia. But the thing is, so many people who are dyslexic also have other conditions, ADHD and others, and then know what to do to get the best out of people. That's what it's all about. That's the number one thing, is the teacher training. The number two thing is the early identification. Universal screening in primary school. You know, now everybody does a phonics test, but a phonics test is only a test of one very specific bit of reading and writing. It doesn't test how good your language skills are compared to your ability to get something from a sound in your head into a symbol on page. Some people are really good at language, have a very wide vocabulary, for instance, but find writing and reading difficult because they find the phonic process difficult. They need different support to people who have a more restricted language capability, but may present the same in terms of how well they can pass a phonics test. So the early identification, which is now available, you know, it's not that expensive, right? It is available because it can be largely done online with trained either teachers, or in some cases, like the Nelly program, you train the TA. You know, technology can be incredibly helpful in this, in the same way that technology was helpful for me. So teacher training plus early identification, and I think that would crack a large part of this.
Which is two very, very valid points, and you know, these need to be implemented. Why do you think these aren't being implemented? Do you think it's just less awareness of this, or it's not high up on the importance list of doing this, or is it time or funds? What do you think the blocker? You're doing amazing work within ALF. There's amazing work that's happening, but there's obviously a bit of a block somewhere along the line.
Well, there's been a problem, which has been, I think, that in the big debate in education about phonics, people who pointed out that some people think differently were seen as kind of making excuses. And it's very important that people don't make excuses for poor teaching where that happens. But that isn't the core problem. You've got to identify if people are neurodivergent, and you've got to then give them the support that meets where their capabilities are. So I think there has been this debate for years, was like ships passing in the night. And, you know, some people saying, well, we care about rigor. And other people saying, well, we care about dyslexia. And the answer is, you can care about both, right? And it doesn't need to be an either or. And the technology now has come on a long way. But it is shocking that when I remember a statistic from when I first entered Parliament, which is now 14 years ago, that only one in five dyslexic kids get that dyslexia identified at school. And when I left government 2 years ago now, I asked the same question and I got exactly the same answer. So there needs to be a big drive on this. Now, to give them their credit, the Education Department last year put out a green paper setting out early identification and support for neurodivergent conditions training within teacher training. So they have now recognized the importance of this agenda, but we've got to spread it right across all schools so that all children get the support that they need.
That's incredibly interesting, isn't it, that it's taken that long and you've asked the same question. I always ask the question when someone says, you know, about dyslexia, they say, or, you know, the statistics are either 1 in 10 or 1 in 5. And these these statistics are based, I guess, on people that actually know that they have dyslexia. And when we start thinking about all the people that are undiagnosed, we'd never know the actual number, if it's 1 in 10, 1 in 3, 1 in 5. And these things, I guess, with the early identification as the work now, I mean, there's definitely a lot more work that's been happening over the past 5 years, even the past 10 years within this sector, but hopefully things are starting to change.
And what we really need is the research, right? We need the evidence-based methodologies for what works. This is why I mentioned Nelly, right? It is an evidence. It started with the evidence on what works to first identify and then teach and make sure that people who are dyslexic can become literate, right? Because it doesn't, except in the most extreme cases, it doesn't have to be a barrier if you're taught right. And so, you know, that is that getting the evidence base is crucial, and it isn't all there yet. There hasn't been nearly enough research into actually what are the best techniques. There's been a lot of debate and a lot of anecdote, but you need the evidence-based research. And of course, that research does take time because you're following the trajectory of individuals, and you know you've got to see how they've done and how different people under different training and different teaching methodologies have done. So I'm not saying the research is easy by any means, but you know it's only once you've got a strong evidence base that can really underpin progress.
Absolutely, and the key to research is just, like you said, it's absolutely vital. What does the future hold for ELF?
Yeah, so ELF, we launched ELF in September, and the initial two priorities are on policy, so making sure that we get government policy, both in terms of primary schools, identification across primary schools, and in prisons as well, where there's a very significant problem. And then the second pillar to it is getting that support in place. You know, the USP, if you like, of ALF is that we can really try to affect the policy agenda. But actually, we also want to be in there providing support for schools and supporting research into what can help make sure that every child can thrive. So that's what's next. We'll be going on a fundraising drive soon enough. You know, the policy work isn't really about money. It's about ideas. But research does need money and support for neurodivergent kids and support for those in prisons. It does. So the fundraising will coming to you soon.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you the very best luck with this. And thank you so much for all the work you do for the community, Max.
Well, likewise. Wonderful. I'm very grateful. I really appreciate being able to come on and us chat about it. And because, you know, those of us who care about this agenda, we've really, really got to keep pushing at it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you for joining us on CERN in 10. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can catch all of our episodes at www.cerninten.co.uk. You can also find us across social media at CERN in 10. Be sure to give us a follow to keep up with the latest news. And thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next time.